TV broadcast network viewers have held steady even as they've lost live sports. Could local news be why? OTT viewing is falling from its heights. Are services in need of a content injection? Keep listening to hear more.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News In-Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from In-Screen Media joins me as always. Hey there, Colin.
Hi, Will, and how are you doing? It's pretty nice down here in California. You've got some nice weather up there, I hear.
Yeah, we've got some quite warm weather here on the East Coast now, going into Memorial Day weekend. So there's a lot of reopening happening, and some beaches, I think, reopening this weekend also.
Wow, so, that sounds impressive.
Yeah, I think people will start to get a little bit of outside fresh air time this weekend, which I'm sure plenty of people are looking forward to after the past couple of months that we've had. So people being cooped up has translated into some additional TV watching time, and you and I are going to cover some data on that today. So kind of provide a little bit of an update on what we're seeing in viewership changes, and we'll take the conversation where it goes from there, right?
You bet. Yes, there's been some updates here, Will, and I got to tell you, it's pretty interesting. I've been tracking data from Alfonso. And I'm not sure if we've mentioned this company before on the podcast, but just as a reminder, Alfonso actually has technology, ACR technology, audio recognition technology, automatic channel recognition technology in smart TVs and millions of smart TVs in the US. So they're actually able to track what people are doing pretty well, and it's permission-based, I should note. And they've been keeping a close eye on viewing through smart TVs, and it's pretty interesting. They've been reporting, as I say, from March. They started reporting in March when we first went into shelter in place and all of that. And the interesting thing was that broadcast TV, usage of broadcast TV has remained pretty much flat. And I was actually quite surprised at this because, as we know, we have completely lost live sports, which is obviously primary fodder for broadcast television. And in addition to that, we've also lost a lot of the late night shows that are typically broadcast, and a lot of the chat shows that are typically broadcast they've had to go to other formats, and some of them are doing repeats. And so a lot of the stuff that typically attracts people to these channels is either in a different, maybe not quite so interesting format, or just completely gone. The new versions are completely gone. But that has not seemed to impact the viewing of the channels. As I say, it has stayed pretty much flat. And the interesting thing about the Alfonso data is that they were able to break out how people are consuming local news. And I've got a feeling, Will, that that's the key. Looking at the Alfonso data, again, that has stayed pretty much flat. And local news, of course, is one of those things that has continued to broadcast live all the way throughout the crisis, because, of course, it's recognized as being an essential service. And I have a feeling that that's what's keeping the interest level in live TV, in broadcast TV, so high. Otherwise, I would have expected it to have dropped dramatically. I think people are still showing up for their local news broadcasters and the local news broadcasts. And there's other evidence in the Alfonso data that news continues to be an extremely interesting category for consumers, because cable news, which shot up to as much as 70% more unique viewers at one point, I think towards the end of March, although it settled down a little bit, it's still 35% up above where it was. So I think news is a key category for consumers during the crisis, remains a key category, and it's been key in maintaining the audience for local broadcast channels. So I think that's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. There has been some other research I've seen over these past couple of months that has shown the increase that in viewing time on local broadcast. Again, primarily that's news, people trying to stay informed about what's happening with the pandemic in their local communities. So I think that's actually quite a good explanation for that Alfonso data. There was actually some data from eMarketer also this week that showed overall TV viewership has gotten just a little bit of a bump so this expands beyond broadcast. This is all TV, all traditional TV, has gotten a little bit of a bump in 2020, with eMarketer saying that the number of traditional TV viewers will grow by about 8.3 million in 2020, and that viewership per viewer is average daily TV viewership is actually going to grow this year by about 19 minutes to an average of 2 hours and 46 minutes per day per American. So that, according to eMarketer, would be the first time that TV has actually grown viewership since 2012. So again, I think to your point, that underscores the role that local broadcast is playing. We know that sports, there's no live sports right now, so all the cable networks that, ESPN, regional sports networks, et cetera, that specialize in sports, they're all having declined. So that local broadcast may really be the key to the entire TV industry right now.
It could be. And it's interesting you mentioned sports. There's a glimmer of hope, Will, in the sports pantheon. I note that the Bundesliga in Germany actually played games last week in empty stadiums. They were all broadcast, and the comments were that the players were pretty rusty, but they did play. So maybe we are going to see some things move along there in that respect, and that we actually had some live golf, didn't we, last weekend?
Yeah, they had a skins tournament last weekend, and I think they're planning to resume tournament play, albeit without live galleries. I think that's going to be coming up pretty soon, like within a month or so, give or take. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like live sports is starting to return just here and there, but certainly without any live attendees at this point.
Right. And it looks like that's probably not going to happen for a while. So another thing that really caught my eye in that Alfonso data, Will, was they've been tracking OTT usage through those smart TVs. And they had reported a big increase by the sort of second week in April. We hit about 35% or 30% above normal for the number of users of OTT video. And basically since then, it's been on a fairly steep downward slope, and it hit about 10% and still seems to be headed down. And this I found really surprising, because you know, if TV viewing basically hasn't changed that much and OTT viewing now is heading down, I kind of was wondering what the heck people are watching now. so anyway, I really thought about this, and I think this could be due to the fact that the OTT services are suffering from the same problem now, or many of them, not all of them, are suffering from the same problem that television has, and that is with the production shutdown, many of them are not getting new content into the services. One in particular I'm thinking of is is Disney Plus, which I think is probably the most widely newly adopted service during the shelter-in-place events that we've been living through. And unfortunately for them, their new content spigot was strangled off at exactly the time when they really needed it. And I think that there's just not been very much new content coming into Disney Plus. So I suspect that that is one of the services that has been hit hard. I think that probably Hulu has also been impacted because, of course, Hulu is dependent for its new content, a lot of its new content, at least from regular television. It's taking a lot of regular TV shows, and those shows now they've stopped having new shows on regular TV for many, many series because they've just run out. So I have a feeling that that could be one of the big impacts here, that the viewers to services like Disney Plus and Hulu just can't find new episodes and aren't using it as much. So I don't know, that was kind of a surprising finding, but maybe evidence of that drought in new content. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not really sure what to make of that one, Colin. I think your point is a good one that, excuse me, the longer that this stay-at-home guidelines stay in place, the more content people are churning through, and at some point you're probably running out of new things to watch. And do you go back to some of the comfort food type shows, the tried and true from years past, or do you start watching stuff again, or do you possibly start doing other things? I do wonder what the impact of the nicer weather is coming in here in the seasonal parts of the country, that where people were basically cooped up and now have options to be outside. There have been so many pictures, I'm sure you've seen them as well, of people getting out. And it may just be that, you know, given a choice between watching something or trying to get out, people are starting to err on the side or move toward the side of getting out instead. So I don't know. I think it's something to keep an eye on. It'll be interesting to see what happens, certainly with some of these Q2 subscriber numbers. We know that Netflix was up big in Q1, but we may see some of that start to recede already in Q2 if people start dropping off and some seasonality starts kicking in.
You know, I have a feeling, Will, that actually Netflix will hold up pretty well. So one of the things that Ted Sarandos has said in the very recent past is that because of the way Netflix releases content, that is, they drop all their episodes all at once, their production schedule is pretty different, I think, to many, many of the other providers in this space. They, as I say, because they have to drop all the episodes, that means that basically when they release a show, everything's done, there's no production left, and that forces them to have a completely different production schedule and actually have a much more advanced production schedule than anybody else. And Ted Sarandos has said that he doesn't anticipate pretty much any impact to Netflix release schedule for most of 2020. They're already into 2021 production, which could be affected, I suppose. Although I did see reports today that they're beginning to start to do production. There's a report that actually they're going to start doing production in France again as France relaxes its rules a little bit. So I have a feeling that Netflix is probably the least impacted by the fact, you know, that they don't have new content, because they do. They're continuing to drop that new content in. And as you say, they certainly benefited in the first quarter with 15.8 million consumer new paying subscriber adds. We'll have to see if that holds up in the second quarter, but I'm afraid we won't know that until July, will we? Because they don't report numbers until then.
Right, no question about that. There's going to be a lag time here. We'll see how that comes out. So, Colin, I don't know, do you have anything else on the TV data? I thought something else that, if not, there's something else that hit my radar this week from YouTube, I thought, related to TVs, was also interesting, kind of tied into this.
We should definitely talk about that, because I think it's very interesting development as well. So tell us, YouTube is improving its ad-safe content pool for advertisers, right?
Well, right. Speaking of people watching TV and people having options of things to watch on their TVs, YouTube has become a bigger part of, excuse me, what people watch on TV. And YouTube TV, the virtual pay TV service, which is now one of the largest, has brought more people into the YouTube orbit watching on the big screen. And I think it kind of comes as no surprise that YouTube has been wanting to target TV advertisers more aggressively. They've been ramping that up over the past few years, and the Google Preferred solution was a key part of how they targeted those advertisers. It kind of carved off the top 5% of YouTube channels and ensured that they were brand safe. They did human curation of those channels, made sure that advertisers weren't going to be surprised by anything. And I think that program has worked out pretty well. And now YouTube announced this week, I think in a bid for more TV ad dollars and for a bigger part of the connected TV advertising world, that they were expanding, actually changing the name of Google Preferred to YouTube Select. But importantly, that they were expanding the range of content that would be considered as part of this YouTube Select pool and would be considered brand safe. So that, I thought, was important from YouTube. They said that internal data shows that over 100 million Americans watch either YouTube or YouTube TV on their TVs each month. They had announced a couple of weeks ago that they were enhancing some of their brand lift measurement tools within the YouTube app and soon for YouTube TV. All of that really, again, I think to try to expand the amount of inventory that TV advertisers would feel comfortable spending against. And we know at the end of 2019, when Google reported its annual results, that YouTube accounted for about $15 billion in advertising in 2019. That was the first time that Google had broken out YouTube's revenue, and I interpret it really as a sign of how much Google is looking at YouTube as a growth driver. And here we are then just a couple months after the 2019 results were shared, and we see YouTube Select again trying to go after that big pot of $70 billion a year in TV ad revenue. So I took that as another indication of how big a player YouTube is going to be on TVs and in the TV advertising community.
Right. I do too, Will. I think this is probably really good for YouTube. It's good for the advertisers, and it's good for viewers. One of the interesting things with YouTube that I think is benefiting it greatly is, well, first of all, Android TVs. If you have an Android TV or an Android TV powered device, YouTube is very much front and center in that interface, and so it becomes extremely easy for you to watch content. So that's the first thing. So I think they're probably benefiting a lot from the population of Android-powered devices that are out there. The other thing is that I think that there's also been a big uptick in actually better quality content and content that really overlaps television now in many respects. So, for example, in the HGTV-type content, there's now a lot of providers on YouTube doing very similar shows, and they are very well produced. So I think there's lots of TV style content. And of course, with YouTube TV, YouTube TV is also providing a tremendous amount of inventory now, because YouTube TV gets advertising slots from the broadcasters that they have signed deals with to bring into people's homes through that product, that pay TV like product. And they've added that inventory into this ad pool. So, you know, I think there's just been a big uptick in the amount of quality content which YouTube can sell advertising against. And so, you know, this, I think, is all to the good for them, and should help lift ad inventory. I guess the interesting thing for me, I don't suppose that there's an easy way for us to find out, is how well YouTube has done, YouTube and YouTube TV has done in attracting ad dollars that have been sort of sat on the sideline due to the shelter in place viewing. And of course, there's no real way for us to know that today. But you've got to believe that if there has been an expansion in spending, that they must have benefited in some way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, that might be something we'll find out at the Q2 results when Google reports. And again, they tend to be pretty skimpy on providing detail related to YouTube. So I don't know if they'll get down into that level or not. But, you know, we'll wait and see. I think to your back to the earlier part of this conversation, with TV remaining flat or maybe slightly up this year with the pandemic, YouTube could very well be a beneficiary. People could be searching out different types of content. And you know how YouTube is, it's a little bit of a rabbit hole. You watch one video and then you start watching another and another and another. And so that could be a way that they're really benefiting. But clearly they aspire to be a bigger part of what's happening when people are watching, when they're turning their TVs on, and a bigger part of the advertising that goes against that content that's being consumed on TV.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, I guess that's something we'll have to keep an eye on, but I think for this week, we're probably just about out of time, aren't we?
I think we are, Colin. So stay well out there, and for all of our listeners, stay well also. And we'll see you again next week on the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. Thanks for listening.